Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. This continues to be our purpose here at CWH, to deliver Dad's timeless messages. We are so appreciative of the many ways you communicate to us each week, on Facebook, sending letters, through the website, and calling us. Recently on Facebook, we heard these two comments. Thank you for staying on the path and in the fight to share the gospel. And thank you for coming into my home on Sunday morning, enlightening me and helping me in my journey. Today, Dad's message, Getting on the Inside, reminds us to put the wonderful Jesus, who we serve, first in our life. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here another week has rolled by, and here we are, and you opened your doors, and we're coming in, and we're going to have a wonderful time together. And we're going to have a sermon today on getting on the inside. That is, there were some people that were especially close to Jesus, like, for instance, Peter, James, and John. And so we all feel like, I want to be on that inside team. I want to be that close to Jesus. That's what we're going to look at today. But first of all, we want to look at the psalm. The psalmist says, Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, How terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and said they shall sing to thy name. O Lord, we know the day is coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And we are already doing that, Lord. That won't be anything new for us. We do that over and over, giving you praise, and that's what we're doing in our service today. So take this service, Lord, today, Lord, and bless us as we worship all over the world with the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And Barb's going to start us off today with the song, Someone to Care, and God bless you, Barb.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. When your disappointments come, and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who's a friend. To share troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. Someone to care, oh, someone to share. You're his child, and he cares for you.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And isn't that a wonderful message? And that's a message from God. That's a message from God's Word, where we are told he careth for you. And if you've opened your heart to Jesus and you're a child of God, you receive Jesus into your heart, he cares for you and he will never leave you or forsake you. And that doesn't mean you won't have to go through some troubles and trials in this life. We all have to go through them. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. He so told that he was talking to his people, his own people. Those who loved him and trust him in this world are going to have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer. And he's always saying that. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He's going to have the last word. And that's all settled already, because Satan is under judgment of God right now. And when Jesus comes again, that'll all take place. So if you're a child of God and you're downhearted today and you feel lonely and maybe you have some pains and aches and maybe your old body doesn't work like it used to, I'm 96, boy, I got parts that don't work very good and squeak and groan and everything else, but praise the Lord, we just move right along and rejoice in the Lord because he cares for us, he loves us, and boy, we love him too, don't we? Well, I have to want to share some letters today, and I thank you all for writing. Be sure to get your pencil and your paper out, because in a few minutes here, I'm going to tell you how you can write. Love to hear from you. And if you have a question, maybe you want to ask, and we'll try to answer that for you. And then maybe you have a trouble, we'll pray for you. So we just thank you for writing. Our first letter today is from Spring, Texas. And this person writes, we must apologize for taking so long to get this sent. We have been recovering from Hurricane Harvey. We have been truly blessed with help from so many. The people in Houston and area are so giving. Even those who have lost so much find time to help others. The Lord is working in many lives. Programs such as the Christian Worship Hour are blessings. We continue praying for you and those that hear God's message. And I want to tell you, too, that we pray for you folks and the victims of hurricanes and fires and whatever the calamity might be. Just seems like one thing after another. And the Christian Worship Hour has you at heart. We love you. That's why we're carrying on this ministry. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of money and effort. But we gladly do it because the Lord has called us to do it. And it's to bring hope to everybody. And maybe you're in a hopeless condition today and you say, I don't even know God. I don't even know how to pray. And I've been so terrible and wicked, God will never, ever look at me. Well, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what your sin is. St. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Chief of sinners, and the Lord Jesus saved him. So if he can save our chief, he can save all of us. We're all sinners, every one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so if you're in that group of people and you don't know Jesus and you don't think he'd have anything to do with you, you come to him, because Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you just come and tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and live in my heart and take away my sins. And I'll make you the Lord of my life and I'll follow you and I'll forsake my evil ways. And thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't make it hard. You can do it. A child can do it. Old grayheads can do it, and all the people in between. Let's see. Here's Hall, Iowa. Hope you don't mind. You're on my shopping list, but your sermons are food for the soul. I enjoy reading a new song. This month it's about money, what money can't buy. So true. Keep up your services. You're coming loud and clear. God bless you and your partners, and we'll see you Sunday. And so here's this food for the soul. That's exactly right. And people are saying, well, you have so many of these things going on. They're talking everything but God. And then people say, well, doesn't God have something to say? You bet he does, and it's good news. Wonderful news. And then it's direction. Some maybe the news will say, now, Buster, you're my follower, and you shouldn't be doing those things, or you should start doing these things. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. That's in his vocabulary. But we're a lot happier when we walk with the Lord. And so this person writes, this is a lady, and she says, we enjoy reading the new song. And the new song this month is going to be is about what is love, the month of February. And what is love? And it goes by a lot of different ways. And some people think it's a tickling under the third rib or something like that. What is love? And that's a little Bible study. You write to us. Get your pencil, paper. I'll give it to you in just a minute. Let's see. Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you for being there for me and the literature you send me. I live in constant pain. No family in the state and neighbors too busy to care. I'm blessed that I can send you an offering to help keep your good works going. Please pray for me to have the strength and guidance to hang in there as I pray for you. Well, that's just like Barbara singing. He cares for you. He does love you. But in this world, we all have troubles and trials. And next week, we're going to be talking about that when the disciples were in the storm. Some good lessons. So just be planning for next week. Tell your friends to listen in. But in the meantime, just lean on Jesus. Trust Jesus. He'll see you through. He'll never give you more than you can bear. Let's see. Tucson, Arizona. God bless you richly for your beautiful labor of love for his saints around the globe. I look forward to meeting you one day at Christ's return. Well, that's exactly right. Jesus is coming again. You know, he came the first time when he's born in the Virgin Mary. We just celebrated that now. And now he's going to come the second time. And he'll come in maybe a little while. You know, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And so he'll wait until his work is all, his purpose of his coming is all worked out. And then he'll come again. And Paul talks about that. And he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, and that is all the people that have died, all the Christians that have died, some of them have been martyred, like in the martyred church, in our persecuted church, and all over the world. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you know what that's telling us? That's telling us there's some people never going to die. We're going to be taken alive bodily to be with the Lord in the air. That could happen. Why, that could happen before this sermon is over with you. It could be any moment. And I don't know when, but it's going to happen. So this is what we're looking forward to, seeing all of our loved ones one of these days when the Lord comes again. Export, Pennsylvania. I am very grateful that I was able to see your program this morning. I am so very eager to get on track and stay on track with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking forward to your literature. And so we've sent literature to this dear brother. And he's What you need to do is when you, after you accept the Lord, if you write to us, we'll send you literature. But you can do it on your own too. You can get the Bible, start reading the Bible, read the New Testament, start with that. A wonderful book is the Gospel of John. I just love the Gospel of John. And read that and then pray, find some Christian friends and find a church where you can get into that church and don't join the church. Go to the church to see what you can get so much as to what you can give so you can help a little bit, see? And then you'll be with other brothers and sisters in Christ and you grow. And we're all growing, and none of us are perfect. We're just on the way. Here's, listen to this, Trinidad and Tobago, West Indies. Do you know how far that is? I had Kent look that up, and he got Googler, or Hoogler, Boogler, or something, and Bugler. I don't know what he got, but that, you know how far it is? 3,252 miles from Aberdeen, South Dakota. Daystar, and isn't that wonderful? All over the world, we're preaching and teaching and worshiping the Lord together. It just thrills my soul. Well, these folks write, and they say, I watch your program on the Daystar Network. My sister and myself enjoy it tremendously. We want to support your ministry financially. Please tell us if you'd be willing to accept a manager's check. And yeah, and then they go on, and then yours sincerely. And so here she's going to send a check. And we just pray, thank God for that. And thank God for the support. Another way you can do that, you can just get on ChristianWorshipHour.com, on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate, and you can donate that. And it'll wherever you are, and it'll come to us in American money. And we'll, American currency, and we'll pay our bills. But I just thrilled that here it is, 3,252 miles away, and we're worshiping together. Right now, here, this is a lady and her sister, and they're worshiping with us. Isn't that glorious? And someday we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to see each other. And won't that be something? Here is Thief River Falls, Minnesota. At listen to this. This is a young man writing. At approximately 4:40 in the morning, I listened to some of your caring sermon, and I wish to thank you for this blessing I've received. Thank you, kind sir. May God bless you. 4:40 in the morning. What are we doing? You say, I'm sending you money, and you're buying time 4:40 in the morning? That's why I've sent my last dollar. Now, I'll tell you why we get on 4:40 in the morning. Some of these stations have extra time that isn't filled in, and so they call it bonus. And they'll put us in, they'll plug us in. And so here's something fell through on 4:40 in the morning, so they put the Christian Worship Hour in. But we didn't pay a penny. Because when we get a station, we check it, and we see how many we can reach, and we see how reliable they are, and we look really into it. So if we're praying in the morning, 4:40 in the morning, we're not paying a penny. So you better listen. It's free charge to you, and it's free charge to us. How can you beat that? One more letter. Boone, Iowa. Thank you for finding me on the perfect day. I am new to the Bible. I've always looked for spiritual things. I would like guidance on how to begin knowing God. How to begin knowing God. Let me tell you. Maybe there's some of the rest of you. Let me tell you how you can know God. You know God through Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to God is through Jesus. And so Jesus, the Son of God, came, made our way of salvation for us. And then you get to know God by knowing Jesus. So how do you don't know Jesus? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You notice that? You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. He says, well, I want to receive Jesus. How do you do that? Well, how do you receive anybody? You say, come in, see? And Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in. If you open the door, I will come in and our fellowship with him. And so here it is. There's a feeling. I want Jesus. See, that's what this person is. The Holy Spirit that takes the word of God. And she wants Jesus. And so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. You're asking him in, see? And he said he'll come in. And then you say, I'll make you the Lord of my life. That is, I'll turn from my evil ways, my wicked ways. Maybe they're not so wicked. Maybe you're morally pretty good, but there's things that are wrong that you've got to turn from. Jesus taught repentance, and that means turning about face, turning from the old to the new. And he says, I'll follow you the best I can because you won't be perfect. And when you fail, you ask him to forgive you. And then you thank him. And that very moment you pray, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And you have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit comes to join into your life. And he will never leave you. And he'll be with you all through life and death and to the gates and right into heaven. That's how. But if you want more literature, you write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, all you shortwave people, we reach 90% of the world's population through 5 different TV towers to shortwave radio. And so I'm giving a little slower for you, but it's the Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you write, help us out financially, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. We're not underwritten by any church, any denomination, or any corporation, and we're just depending on God's people, you. And so you said, dear Heavenly Father, should I support this work? And if he says yes, then you say, how much should I give him? And he'll tell you, and you just be obedient. And if you want to, and here's the miracle of things, you can send it on shortwave, or you can send it on internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you just hit donate, and you can help us out. One other word, if you wonder about how the money is spent, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's a worldwide organization, and they audit our books, and they check every penny we get and every penny we give. And it's safe to give. So you pray, because if you want this to carry on, you have to help us. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you just pay as God lays on your heart. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's exactly what we're talking about today. And there's no turning back. You put your hand to that plow and you never look back. You don't even look back. looking back, you'll never run a race. You ever see anybody run a race and win a race looking backwards? They're looking forwards, looking forwards. And that's what St. Paul said. Oh, St. Paul, before he was, while he was Saul of Tarsus, he was a nightmare to the church. He persecuted the church, caused them to blaspheme the Lord and deny the Lord. How wicked was he ever? And he broke up homes and he took men and had them put to death like he did Stephen. Oh, when he looked back. But you know what St. Paul says? Forgetting those things that are behind, they're all forgiven. They're all washed away. Forget about the things of the past. If you live in the past, you'll go crazy. And the devil likes to make you live in the past because you can't do anything about it. So he can drive you crazy, see? That's the devil. Oh, he's really a winner, isn't he? He's going to win his way all the way to hell, a lake of fire. And so don't look back. Just look to Jesus, see? Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, keeping his eyes on Jesus. That's what it's all about. Well, we're reading from John chapter 16, and where the sermon today is about following Jesus, staying with Jesus, being on that inside group with Jesus. And he starts out by saying in John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Always keep that verse in mind. That's going to be a theme for our sermon. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That's the work of Jesus. Now we're going to pray, and in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're praying for the persecuted church in Mexico today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have us on your heart. Thank you that you ascended into heaven to intercede for us, but you sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he says that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. He will never leave us. That he will be with us as long as we live. No matter what we do, he's with us. And he's going to take us into heaven with him and with you and the Heavenly Father. And so we just pray today that you'll help us to be close to you right now and be a part of that inner circle that's close to you. You've always had them. You always will have them. May we be part of them. And, oh, Lord, now we pray for our brothers and sisters in Mexico, and they're suffering for you. They're being persecuted. And, oh, help them to know that we're praying for them. We just know some of them probably listening to us in this service right now, and help them to know that the whole world is praying for those in Mexico, and that God will just, we know God will give them the strength, and may they just rely upon you. And someday they'll wear the martyr's crown, and someday we'll see them in heaven, and won't that be a wonderful, wonderful time? So we thank you, Lord, now, and we pray that you help us to draw close to you and follow you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing now a song called Majesty. God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Worship is majesty unto Jesus. Jesus, be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from his throne unto his own, who his anthem we raise. So exalt, lift up on high, name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, lift on high, the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Thank you, Melissa. And that's who we worship, and that's who we serve, and that's who we preach, is this wonderful Jesus Christ. And majesty is his name. Oh, all the world is going to bow before him. Someday he's going to come again, and all the world is going to see him. And you know, when I started out preaching 73 years ago, 1944, and you'd preach and say that he's going to descend to the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives, he's going to touch his feet on the Mount of Olives, is going to be cleft in twain, and all the world is going to see him. And you know what the old unbelievers and the old people that didn't trust Jesus, you know what they say? How can he be seen all over the world, because you can only see him in one place at once? They didn't know anything about television. Never dreamed about television. And though they say the Bible, you can't trust the Bible, because it's impossible to see one event all over the world at the same time. And so the Bible says that, and so they're wrong there. So the Bible could be wrong in 100 places. And so I'd throw the Bible in the garbage. That's exactly what they said. And you know how he'd answer them? I don't know how it's going to happen, but it'll happen. Well, it won't be television. Jesus will have something a lot more better than television, but the whole world is going to see him. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this wonderful Jesus, now in this passage that we just read, he is just getting ready, and he's going to the cross very shortly, and he's going to die on that cross. He's going to be buried, and he's going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he's going to be raised from the grave, and he'll spend a short time, and then he'll ascend into heaven. So now he's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them about things that are going to happen. And when they think he's going to leave them and go into heaven, they're troubled and they're worried, because how are they going to get along without Jesus? How would you get along without Jesus? How would I? It'd be a horrible experience. It'd be the end of the world. But the Lord is telling him, now listen, I'm going to send a comforter, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity, and he's going to indwell you. And he's going to indwell you forever, he said. That is, as long as you live. He will never leave you. You say, well, what if I sin? He said he'd never leave us. He never will leave us. And we're all going to sin. We sin every day. I had a seminary student tell me one day, he was so happy he hadn't sinned in 3 days. And I thought, dear Lord, I hope he learns something in seminary. One evil thought, one bad thought, one failure to do something. We all sin every day. And so that's why we confess our sins. Not to get to heaven, that's all settled, but for fellowship with the Lord. See, you have a little squabble with your wife, and there's this, some fellowship is broken, and you tell him you're sorry, and then it's all taken care of. So we tell Jesus, I'm sorry. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. So Jesus, now he's talking to his disciples, and he says that he's going to leave, but he says, and that's in the 12th verse, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. He says, I've told you a lot of things, and I was along the ways, but there's some things that are going to happen, but you're not strong enough yet, see? But when you're strong enough and you're close enough, I'll share them with you, see? And so he's talking and he's telling them, now I'm very careful because Jesus is saying so many words, you are like my little children. And I tell my little children certain things, but I don't tell them too much. I lay too much on them, see? But when they become stronger, and when they become older, I can share these things. And so he's telling them these about the things of God. He says that I'm going to share some things with you as you're able to bear them. And he says, I want to know this. He wants us to know this, that the world is against us. The world is going to hate us. Jesus says that the world hated him, and it's going to hate you. It's going to hate all of his followers. And this world is enmity with God. And he says, and then he tells him in this passage, I have overcome the world. And don't we all thank God for that? This world with all of its pomp and pageantry and pride and sins and sorrow and selfishness and wickedness and antichrist, that's the world. Jesus tells us, John tells us, if you love the world, you can't love God. That world is an enemy of God. It always has been, always will be, and it is today. You just live for Jesus, shine for Jesus. You kids in high school or college or wherever, you shine for Jesus and carry your Bible with you and see what they do. The world hates God and hates Jesus Christ. But he's telling his disciples, don't be afraid of this. The world of this power. Don't be afraid of this Satan-dominated age in which we live. And the whole world is in it, and it's always been against it. The minute Jesus Christ came into this world, the world tried to kill him, didn't he? The king tried to kill him. So it's anti-God and anti-Christ. And so this the world, and he's not talking about the world as nature, but he's talking about the world system. The world system, the culture. Jesus tells his attentive disciples that there would be problems along the way. And he says that the world is going to be hostile toward you. Then Jesus continues. And he says that he would, because of his love and his goodness, and they're going to crucify me. The only good thing that ever came into this world, and it's going to be crucified. So he says to be ready and to be prepared. And when they comes, then it's going to get... then you're going to know how to handle these things. So then he explains them. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. That is, and if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. These are the verses in John 16, beginning with the 7th verse. And he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. That is, it's best for you if I leave for a time. Because Jesus hastens, he says, if I go not, the Comforter will not come. So Jesus tells his little band of followers, the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter, will begin to work when he comes. And he will correct the hostile world of three things. Jesus says he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Now, so let's look at those three. Of sin, the Holy Spirit convicts men of many sins. But the one great damning sin of all is, Jesus tells us what it is. He tells us the worst sin there is. And he says in verse 9 of the 16th chapter, he says, of sin because they do not believe on me. Jesus is saying that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That is, the worst sin you can ever commit is to reject Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus tells us. And Jesus says that, and he says, I'll tell you why they're condemned. In verse 18, in John 3:18, he says, he that believeth on me is not him, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts men of that sin, people of that sin. And that's why every time I preach, I know people are going to be under conviction. And I know that many of them are going to come to Jesus, put their faith in Jesus. I know that all over the world. But if you reject Jesus, you commit the most terrible sin in the world, the sin that will put you in hell. No way around it. And then he says he's going to convict them of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. After Jesus completed his wonderful work of atonement on the cross and was buried, God raised him from the dead. The third day lifted him up from the grave. Sin put Jesus on the cross. Righteousness puts Jesus on the throne. And so you see, the Holy Spirit tells him in my heart that I need a righteousness which only the risen Christ can provide. The Holy Spirit is telling us your works aren't enough. I get letters all the time. I'm getting a letter from a man. I've read it written to me a half a dozen times. I've sent him literature and everything else. He cannot get it through his poor head that you can't be saved by works. He's trying to do more works to get saved. And he's going to end up hell that way because not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy and his grace and the righteousness of Christ. That's what Paul says. Look at here. Paul talks about this when he says, that I might be found in him, Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. But he says, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so the Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ seated in heaven because the righteousness of all who accept him. And the Holy Spirit is convicting of righteousness because he's convicting us and letting us know you can't work to be saved. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Romans, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. And some of these people, I don't know why, the devil's got a hold on them and they think they're going to get to heaven by works. Now, works has a place. We work after we're saved. But we're never saved. We're never saved by works. It's not works and then salvation. It's salvation and then by works. Get it straight. But the Holy Spirit does. And then the Holy Spirit, thirdly, convicts of judgment. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. It's not a future judgment, something to come, but he's judged right now. Jesus tells us that the devil is judged, as judgment's all taken place. Now, Jesus hasn't even died yet, but he just is so set, and it's going to happen. There's no question about it. And when Jesus dies and paid for the sins of the world, the devil is judged. And that judgment rests upon all the people that follow Satan. And everybody follows Satan unless they make their allegiance for Jesus Christ. He that is not with me is against me. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you are lost, lost, lost. Oh my God, that's why we are preaching and teaching and doing everything we can. Because you have to come by Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Turn to Jesus. So Jesus talks to these people quietly. And then he talks to them. He's explaining all of them. And then he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. He says it kind of just in a casual way. He's saying, I'm telling you all these things about the work of the Holy Spirit, but there's more, but I can't tell you. And he has this little group of people. None were famous men. No, they were following him by faith and trusting in him. Jesus could see how frail they were. He could see their faults, and he could see how lacking they were. He knew that very moment they were not entirely grasping what he had to say. He understood perfectly. They misunderstood his statements. And so this dear Lord Jesus, I just think in tenderness and love and kindness, he tells his followers, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Remember, Jesus just told them, they shall put you out of the synagogues. The hour cometh when whosoever killeth you shall think that he offereth service unto you. The world hated me and it will hate you too. He had already told those things, but he says there's still more things to say. But I can't tell him yet, quite yet. But and then he adds, you cannot bear them. Which brings me to say this, Jesus Christ loves his own with a heart. He loves us so much he will never give us more than we can handle. Sometimes you say at your wit's end, I had a woman tell me not long ago, I don't know how I could handle any more. And I said, then you won't have any more. Because Jesus knows exactly what you can carry. And he says, because see, listen to what he says here. He says, you're not able to bear them. I'm not going to tell you everything. You're not able to bear them. He knows that he's at the breaking point. He knows that we can't take any more. And so he says, I'll hold these. It'll come when you're stronger, when you're ready, see? And the less the weaker we are, the less he lays upon us. The stronger we are, the more he lays upon us. And he knows where every one of us is. So here, like a glittering, dazzling diamond, is a wonderful principle. It's something you should never forget. He will never give you more than you can bear. Bless his holy name. I love the Lord. He's so good. And you say, I can't bear any more, then he won't give you any more. But he knows, and he has to press, and he has to push, and that he has to push on that body. It's like the potter and the clay, only the clay is human flesh. And so he has to force, and he has to push. But you take a look at those hands, and they're nail-pierced hands. He loves you. And he's doing it for his glory and for your good. That's what it is. He is so loving and kind. And so Jesus is looking. Have you noticed that God had certain men for hard jobs? When you look into the Bible, look at Job. Now Job had to bear fierce afflictions for him. He could do it because he was a strong man for God, didn't he? Look at Joseph. He arrived as a young person. All young people, you listen in now. He was only a teenager when he was taken, carried back into Babylon. And he was put under pressure to have certain things, certain dietary and all that. But he wouldn't do it. He stood for the Lord. He was a strong man. He was a young man, but he was strong. And God used Joseph in a beautiful way. Look at Moses. And look at how the terrible time he had leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't the Red Sea that was the problem. It was the people that was a problem. And one time they're going to take up stones and stone Moses because they were having a tough time in the desert, out in the wilderness. And they said it was better in Egypt. And they wanted to kill him, but Moses was strong. Now, not every man could have done that. Very few men could have done that. Moses stood there. He was strong, so he's carrying a load that most couldn't carry. Look at Noah. Can you imagine Noah? He's building an ark out in the backyard, and he's building a monstrosity. And I'm going to tell you, you don't even, up until Noah's time, until it rained, you never read of rain. Rain isn't mentioned. It says a dew came up and watered the garden. They didn't even know what rain was. And he's building that ark. Noah had to be a strong man. He was a laughing stock. You're willing to be a laughing stock for God? It isn't easy. It isn't easy for young people in school to have them laugh at you and scoff at you. Well, you just take a look at Noah. Look at Jeremiah. He suffered and died for the Lord Jesus, for God. When few men could have made the stand and thundered for the messages of God, he picked Jeremiah because he was strong. Look at Daniel. And Daniel won't bow at all, and he's put in the lion's den. You see, these men were close to God. These men were on the inner circle. They were a chosen few because they were strong, and he could put the more upon them than he could put upon the regular run of people. And so that's what we are saying. Oh, I want to be on the inside. I want to carry a load for God. Look at Enoch was that kind of a man because Enoch was so near and close to God. God took him one day. He never died. Enoch never died. Elijah, look at him and all that he went through when he had to face a wicked queen that was going to take his head and kill him and all of his friends. And Elijah had to be a strong man. And he stood on Mount Carmel and he defied the whole world, the wicked world. And then God said, oh, Elijah, you won't have to die. You see, there's two men didn't die. Enoch didn't die. And now here Elijah isn't going to die because there's going to be a chariot of fire coming with the fiery steeds of heaven and take him into heaven. He never died. And that was because he was strong. And look at Abraham, another man. He was one of the chosen few. He's called the friend of God because of his closeness with God and his willingness to move out and walk with the Lord, serve the Lord. Over and over we see it. And when you see the children of Israel, for instance, how so many of them failed and how that God was merciful to them. But when the leaders came and he needed the real men of God and women of God in some cases, then they put this wonderful Savior and Jesus to give us, to help us. So God knows exactly where we are. And so they were the people when they would give the, how can you do that? I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be on that little group. I want to be like Peter, James, and John. Look what he did with them on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's going to be transfigured before them. Who does he take? Peter, James, and John. He's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to sweat, as it were, drops of blood as he takes him. Who does he take? Peter, James, and John. He has those chosen people because they're strong enough to carry it and the rest can't. And I want to be part of that group. I want to be one that God can lean on and give this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be that person that God can say, yes, I can load more onto him. I can make it. You can all have that, but it has to come through commitment. You have to see this Abraham and that old patriarch walking with God, walking through a wilderness where the Merom could have been put to death, his families and all. Look at David, sweet singer of Israel, and how that and this the great king of Israel, Israeli nation, and oh, yet he will look at his terrible sin, and God has forgotten those sins. The world hasn't forgotten those sins. Oh no, the world brings them up every time they get a chance, but God says they're all washed away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. They're going to be dropped in the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember those sins anymore. Why are you remembering them? See? And though David had that terrible sin, yet he was a man after God's own heart. And it didn't mean that God was approved of adultery and murder, but he knew what the goal in his heart. He knew where David's heart was. He knew he was sold out to God. And no matter what happened, he would be true to God. And he was. And that's what I want. And that's what you want, isn't it? I'm talking to Christian people now. Those have been accepted the Lord. If you haven't accepted Jesus, that's a first step. And you just have to ask him into your heart and take him as your Savior. But after that, we have to grow in grace. And we have to burn those bridges behind us. And I remember reading a story of one general, and they were going to try to take a country. And when he came with the boats, the first thing he did, he said, burn the boats, set them on fire. There'll be no retreat. We're going on. And that's what we do. That's what Paul, that's what Elisha did. He burned the plow and he sacrificed the animals. There'd be no going back to going the old world, the old way. He was going with God. And that's what I want, and that's what you want. But we have to commit ourselves to God. We have to mean business. And it can't be just a Sunday business. It's got to be every day and every hour and every minute. And it's got to be sold out to God. And you can be on that inner group of like Peter, James, and John. You could add your name to that. That's what I'm praying. And there's joy in that. So now if you have any questions or you want some literature, you write to us. If you accepted the Lord especially, we want to send you literature. But if you have some question in your life and you need some help, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. For all you shortwave radio people, get your pencil out and get your paper out. We'd love to hear from you. Heard from Trinidad, West Indies. We'd like to hear from more of you all over the world. And write and let us know you're there. We don't even know if you're even breathing. And you need to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And send a gift if you can. It's just common sense. You know what? You can do all your plans, but they call what they say the bottom line. What's the bottom line? Money. We just have to have money to pay our way. And so you have to help us. Now, you can do it a real easy if you want to. You can do it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send us a gift, and we'll get it that way. We're counting on you. We're counting on your prayers and your gifts. Now, I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the wonderful people that have opened their doors today. Some have received you. Some have drawn closer. Some have been challenged. We all want to be on that inner circle. So bless us to that end and challenge us and help us, to young and old alike, to live that life. And dear Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Mexico, so close to us in some ways geographically, and yet, oh God, they're facing terrible suffering, even unto death, and loss of homes and loss of their part of their family. And so just to help them to know that we love them and you love them and they're an encouragement to us, and we thank you for them. Help them to take heart and someday wear the martyr's crown. Bless those who are on beds of sickness and those who are lonely, those who are weary. Just help them to know that you are there and you will be always there and your Holy Spirit will never leave them. And someday we'll see you face to face. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you write to us now. Pray for us. Next week we'll be back together. And we're going to have an exciting sermon about when Peter walked on the water. Don't you love that story? I just love to preach it. I don't know how many times I preach it. And Lord willing, I'll preach it again next week. So tune us in. So you pray for us. Tell your friends. We could double our congregation overnight if you tell your friends. And so God bless you. God loves you. We love you. And by the grace of God, we'll see you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.